How do some of the biggest creators in the world record high quality content with remote guests? Riverside. With Riverside's remote recording online studio, you can record high quality audio and video with guests and co-hosts from anywhere in the world. Riverside provides a simple and seamless way to connect with guests and record your episodes without sacrificing audio quality. Unlike traditional conference call tools, Riverside records directly to your computer, so you avoid a lot of those Wi-Fi glitches that other programs often have. Riverside also records in 4K video and with separate tracks, making sure that you and your guests sound clear with crisp video wherever it is in the world that you're recording. With this easy-to-use platform, you can schedule and manage your recordings with just a few clicks. Riverside uploads the full quality files directly to the cloud whilst you're recording, so these files are ready for you to edit and export just minutes after your recording is over. So whether you're looking to interview guests from around the world or collaborate with co-hosts in different locations, Riverside has everything you need to create a high-quality podcast that your listeners will love. So if you're podcasting or often getting interviewed, use our code UNBOX for a 20% discount at riverside.fm. Link is in the description box and the sign-up is free.
Listen.
Dialing in from his apartment in New York is Caleb Simpson, the guy who asks, "How much is your rent?" on TikTok. His MTV Cribs meets Humans of New York style of content is super relatable. It's honest and it cuts through the conflated and luxurious living of the 1% in New York. What's brilliant about his concept is that he breaks the fourth wall with his audience, and we go on a journey with him as he peers into what city living is actually like and how people really live. I'm so excited to speak with him today about how he came up with the idea, how he's made his money as a creator, and what's next for his brilliant channels. Let's get into it with Caleb. Caleb, thank you so much for coming on Unboxed.
Dude, thanks for having me on, Jordan.
Oh, honestly, man, it's a pleasure. And I'm obsessed with the content. You've been doing some amazing things. Obviously, it goes without saying. But I'd love to know first off, like, why and how? Like, how did you get into this and why?
Totally. I mean, you know, when I was in high school, I loved watching YouTube and just I never made videos, but I enjoyed watching the videos on YouTube, especially in college, like these sketch comedians and stuff like that. I toyed around with playing like making a few videos, but, you know, it was really like much more work than I anticipated. So I was just kind of like, you know, making videos is hard. I don't even know like if these guys are making money or any of these things. So it wasn't until I moved to New York City after college, I kind of like picked up a camera. I didn't really know anybody in New York. And I thought, yo, I'm going to make some videos and I'm going to see how this works and what I enjoy within this video creation world. It's funny how I discovered TikTok was, I was helping a YouTuber friend make a video about TikTok because there was like that joke going around on YouTube. It was like, what's TikTok? And they were making fun of TikTok. And it forced me to look at the app.
Now look at them all.
I know. Look at all of them.
Famous last words.
Yeah. What is this app?
Honestly.
Yeah. And I looked at the app and we were like making fun of it, but I saw like three people on there who had a couple mil followers, but they also had a couple million on YouTube and a couple million on Instagram. And I was like, oh, this is real. This is the next Instagram. So that was the moment I started taking it serious. And I've played around with like a lot of different formats within TikTok. So I kind of did like I had a little blow up. Got around a couple million followers on TikTok then. And then since it was like COVID time, you know, I felt lucky because I actually got like a few brand deals.
Yeah.
And then I was just like making TikToks at home during COVID, bro.
And what was the first like video you did of this style? Because it's now become so synonymous with you and your brand and it's kind of the focal point, right? What was the first one where you were like, okay, this is sick. There's something in this.
It was honestly the first video that I made. I kind of like walked around New York City and just asked people like, how much you pay for rent? Can I tour your apartment? And they just said no all day long. All day. They're like, no, fuck
this guy.
Yeah. Fuck this guy. And once I got a yes and then kind of clipped it together and posted it, it went like mega viral. And just the response from it, I was been making videos online a long time and had a few like little successful series. And I'd never seen like a response like that. And really, it's because I posted all the no's also with the prices. And I had friends of their friends see the videos. And then those people reached out and were like, no, come tour my apartment.
Right.
And that was the aha moment for me. I was like, whoa, all of New York City saw this. And now this guy's reaching out telling me to come over.
Yeah, for sure. And what was the thing? You know, you said obviously this, it went mega viral. And that was like the first yes that you posted, right? Did really well. what was it about that? Like, what is the essence of it that you think is resonating with so many people? Because the numbers are obviously ridiculous. The consistency, the engagement is amazing. Like huge congrats to you. It's incredible. But like, what is it, do you think, that at the heart of it that people are just gravitating to so much?
Yeah, I think the heart of it is we all live inside a box, you know, every single person all over the world, you know, and that's pure curiosity. When you go to another country, you always think like, oh, how do the people live here? Like, what's inside their home?
Yeah.
And that's like something you're not really allowed to see unless you meet a local. Like when you go on a trip somewhere, you kind of like do the touristy thing. You get to see all the, take pictures everywhere, but you never get to see like the local side in someone's home, how people actually live. So I really truly think that's the main reason why. But then there's like the price point, New York City. It's so expensive. And then like kind of what can you get? And then mixing in personalities inside of that. It's just kind of like it's a big whammy of information people are curious about.
So what's been your sort of favorite tour that you've done? Are there like three that stick out to you in your head where you're like, hey, I will never forget that? Or any houses you just go, nah, I needed to leave immediately.
Needed to leave immediately. I mean, the needed to leave immediately, sometimes I will jump into that direction first because that's an interesting question. You know, since I do them every day, you know, sometimes I have to like really mentally prepare myself. It's like going on a TV show or something. You know, a lot of times I haven't like met these people because sometimes they're like pre-set up.
Yeah.
Obviously content. But I still haven't met them. That's like a rule for myself to like keep it more organic. And then I'll just start filming. I don't know. And then I might not be in like the mental headspace right then to like really go through and be my organic self. So I might try to get out of there. But my most favorite, there's this guy who lives in a commercial laundromat here in New York, in Brooklyn. And he's kind of like an artist through and through. He turned the laundromat into an art space, also like a music hall. He has like rope hanging from like the ceiling still so he can like dry his clothes to like keep the laundromat essence. And he was just like a weird, wacky dude. And I'll just kind of always remember that experience. And then Barbara Corcoran, she was cool to meet from Shark Tank, just like New York City legend. It was like,
she's great, man.
Yeah, it's fun to hear just like her stories and she gave me good advice. So,
yeah. And when you're putting together, I mean, one thing that strikes me with your content is just how like amazingly optimized it is. And obviously TikTok is all about, like, you know, better than anyone, like hyper efficiency and capturing all of the value and everything else. Like, can you talk us through the process of making a video and like the formula, if you will, to getting something that you know is just going to hit in terms of like the kind of post-production and the editing side of things and the production as it leads into that?
Production wise, I kind of just show up at the home, film right here, and I just hold my phone right here to my chest. And I don't really walk through the home and like talk about the home. Like, I'm kind of like getting to know the person, asking the person questions about their lives so they become more comfortable. Then they just start naturally sharing their space with me. So we'll just kind of do a whole walkthrough, me asking questions about their life. Then I'll shoot like 2 minutes of just like single B-roll shots on my cell phone. Then we'll go outside and like shoot the little intro. That's kind of it. So there's like three parts. Yep. It can take like 30 minutes. It could take up to an hour, just depending on how long we chat. And then post-production, you know, the little intro where I ask somebody like, how much do you pay for rent in New York? You know, that's the beginning. What's interesting about cutting up like the 30 to 45 minute clip is I'll just go through and listen to anything that I find interesting that the person said. So that's something that like takes time through editing. Like, did that person say something interesting that the internet would like or that I found interesting, you know? So I like cut it all down to that and then down. And then I start making decisions because I know I only have 60 seconds. So I'm like, well, is this more funny than this? Is this, does this add to the story more than this adds to the story? For example, this is just kind of funny. Like, this girl's home that I toured in Miami, we kind of like both reached for the bathroom door at the same time. And like touched hands.
So that's it.
And it just happened on accident. And she's like this supermodel. And I was like, yo, the internet's going to eat this alive. Like, I was thinking that when it happened, you know? And everybody in the comments, like, they touched hands.
part two. Yeah, please.
Yeah, part two. So it's like those little subtle things that just takes time from editing. Like, I've worked in the industry a long time before I've had this moment and edited so many things for so many people that I kind of like understand.
Yeah. Is there an example of an edit that you've done where you've just gone like, that is as good as it can be? And is there an example of a video that maybe even performed quite well where you go, you know what, that edit wasn't quite as tight looking back at it? Are there any two that sort of stand out to you?
I mean, really, when I look back at the first one that I edited of this Apartment Tour series, I'm like, whoa, that like was not good, you know? It was just like,
yeah, but it did well, right?
Yeah, it did well. No one had seen anything like that, really. So it was kind of like a little just like boring and still. Honestly, sometimes I look at the edits and I'm like, was that too fast? I'm like, can you even digest what the fuck just happened? Like, because like one of my editing hacks is that I'll throw, after I do the edit, I'll do the auto captions in Adobe Premiere. And that like, it shows you like any gaps that like there's a breath, basically. So you can like cut out everything, like all the fat. And sometimes it might just feel like a little too quick, you know?
Yeah, well, so you edit the captions in Premiere every time. So you don't use the TikTok tool or any of the sort of native tools. It's all done in Premiere, right?
Correct. Because it gives you can do it like word for word. So then if there's like 0.3 seconds, it'll like show you like, hey, this is dead air. So you just like remove that. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. You can just be really then like tight and efficient before you export it. And then I guess also when you're exporting it and putting it onto any other platform, you've got that tightness rather than having to do it in any of the apps, right?
Totally. And one other thing I'm like super particular on is the audio. So I'll make sure like there's no like, you know, pops or clicks or just any of that. Cause I'm like, the second you might hear that, you might swipe away. Yeah. So I go through all the audio and make sure it's like all super tight.
And what do you think the benefits are for you personally, right? You obviously having gone from making content that's wider and more general, right? Doing multiple different things before and then moving into something that's more formatted. Like how valuable do you think a format is in terms of sort of sharpening creative, both for you as well as for the viewer and your audience?
You know, someone asked me this the other day and I'm going to give a different answer because I thought about it much, much more.
I got the better one. There we go.
Yeah. I think the format is the key to like everything, because if you think about any like YouTubers, you know, they stick within their format. Like Logan Paul had his vlogs that he stuck within. Casey Neistat had his vlogs. The second he kind of stepped out of that realm, like Logan Paul or Casey, it was like kind of weird. He's like, I'm going to test some things. And everyone's like, ah, can you go back to the vlog?
Yeah, that's what we liked.
And I think having a tight-knit format leads you to, one, everyone recognizes who you are. Two, you can just keep building off that format and make it better and better and better. Three, like for me, it's easy to pitch. It's just like, here's this format. You've seen it most likely. And it's this generation's MTV Cribs. It's just like makes sense to people.
Yeah.
Four, like as long as you like build a popular show, you can build on top of that. Like this could be a funnel to your next thing, which it always is, you know? So that's what excites me is like, people are like, are you going to stay within this Apartment Tour show? And I'm like, I'm going to build this thing as big as I can. And then I can build something else, you know, after.
Are there any other formats? I know obviously you're building in this and somebody asked you that, but are there any other formats or styles which you've thought of and you say, well, that might be a good evolution of what you're doing or a good sort of sub brand or format or anything that's kind of coming up in your pipeline that is free to share or hint at, if you will?
Yeah, there's like, honestly, since the beginning of this thing, it's kind of been like, okay, how do we build something that shows more of me or more of my personality in a different way? Because how I describe myself online is like, I am Caleb Simpson and I host this generation's MTV Cribs, or I host How Much Do You Pay for Rent? Because that's how I'm positioning myself on the media.
Yeah.
The other thing I'll say about it, the hint, will just be my strategy for short form media is like take old media shows that were successful and then create them for now. So put them in today's format. So there's so many hit shows that just like people love that aren't here anymore.
100, couldn't agree more. Like the amount of content like in the 80s, 90s, like shows that just died, but were incredible formats that if you do a bit of digging in like the UK, the US, around the world, there's so much gold from a formatting perspective, but they just ended up fading away because TV traditionally didn't want them. But you're so right. If you captured what made those shows great and you brought them into the new medium in terms of packaging, because often it's about packaging, editing, making things snappy, efficient, and so on, then there's no reason why they won't work, right?
Totally. It's like everyone wants to reinvent the wheel, but I'm like, these kids haven't seen these shows. Like you're basically going to be, they're going to be like, how'd you think of this? It's like, I stole it.
MTV. I mean, come on. That's it. I mean, you said we, interestingly. Do you have a team around you? And how important is a team for a creator like yourself?
Yeah, I think it's the most important part, really. It's the biggest piece of the puzzle. It's actually the piece that stressed me out the most at the very beginning. Because I've been in the industry for a while, but I didn't feel like I had the right people around me initially. So I kind of made some phone calls to some friends like 3 or 4 months in, and I was like, hey, you guys want to work with me on this? And then I was like starting to build out the pieces to the puzzle, or just even like calling people on the phone that I know are like really good in business and being like, hey, would you want to advise me? And like, what does that look like for our relationship? You know? So I think as much as creating content, you have to be willing to pick up the phone and call these people that ideally are in your life that have done really well in business or management or whatever it may be, and like ask for their help.
Yeah. You know? And who is that kind of core setup for you? Like, what does the sort of, the team Caleb look like?
There's a management company, STA, and they're a management company of basically my friends that help manage. Then I have two advisors, one on the creative side and one on the business side. Then I have another creative director and a full-time videographer and editor.
Wow. What's it like? I mean, you've been in the industry for a while, but what's it like to have this sort of infrastructure around you? I mean, obviously it's adding so much, but to manage that day to day, that's a whole new skill set for most people.
It's stressful, bro.
Yep.
It's an added element. Yep. It's an added element, you know? Some people, I'll joke with people. I was like, bro, I thought I was just making videos. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought I was just here to make videos.
Now I'm doing HR. Like, yeah.
No. Yeah. Now I'm doing HR. But it's necessary. It's a necessary evil. So instead of like fighting it, I'm like, let's just accept it and let's get a little bit better at it every day and not like fight it. You know, this is what needs to happen for us all to win.
Interesting. Right. So on to some of the financial side of things here. I'm interested to talk about, you know, money and to be comfortable, of course, and how you found kind of making a career and building a kind of commercial business. So what is the kind of commercial breakdown of what you do? Like, how do you generate income and how has that been to drive such sort of reach and success and also have the kind of commercial results off the back of that as well?
Well, I think initially you build it up for like just the platforms in general, like Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. And you kind of, I think a lot of creators at first, they're like, I'm going to make a lot of money from YouTube and they're going to pay me a lot of money. Let's go. But
it
really depends.
Doesn't happen like that.
Yeah, it really depends on the type of views you're doing, your CPMs, like everything. So on pretty much on all those platforms with short form media and some of my long form is like, I'll be making like 30 to 40K a month from just like me posting the videos, getting them live. It's like, okay, that's 30 to 40K a month. And then the objective, which has been going decent, is to land like one six figure deal a month that I can like post so I don't like oversaturate kind of like my brand. And then outside of those two things, it's like I'm in the development of developing the correct business idea. So there's a lot that you could do in real estate. There's a lot that we could do like with home goods. There's a lot like I jump into people's beds. It's like, well, should I have like my own
mattresses?
Like, mattresses, my own nighttime attire. Like, it's like, which direction do we go? What's going to feel most authentic? Also, it's funny because like I had a call with, I think it was realtor.com yesterday. And they're like, we kind of like want to sponsor your content. We want you to come, you know, do X, Y, and Z. And it's like, I mean, yeah, this makes sense. But then we get off the call and I was like, guys, do we just build our own realtor.com? Yeah, like how hard would this be? Like, what's the market here? Like, do we do this in New York City? Like, we need to like really do some digging on this stuff and see like, well, if we succeed, what's going to be the payoff? Like, if we make, I don't know, 300 grand from realtor.com, but we spend a year and a half building this thing, are we going to make 10 million, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, so I'm not really trying to jump the gun on a lot of things. I'm trying to like really think about it and like how much opportunity we have here. That's what Barbara Corcoran told me. She's like, you need to, she's like, you could probably 100x everything you're doing. She's like, but you need to like go think crazy. She's like, how do you collect, how do you collect the money, you know?
But also, as you're saying, it's not rushing into anything because when, especially when you've got a format and you've got a brand that obviously is so dominant, you need, is just as you're doing, right, to take your time and to be careful in that first move because, you know, you've collected such an incredible amount of reach and engagement, an audience who's so primed for something, for value ultimately from you. So how much in what specific way can you provide the most amount of value to that audience, I guess, is that's what I'd be thinking.
Exactly. Or it's just like in the real estate market specifically, it's like, I don't know it too well, but I've been talking to a lot of real estate agents and just different people. And I'm like, what does this industry need? You know, like what would be helpful for people? Not just like a copycat of something. I don't know. When you think about, as someone said yesterday, you could become a god of New York City real estate. And it's like, do I want to be a god of New York City real estate?
I don't know.
Or do I want to be like an entertainer, which is like what I'm doing? You know what I mean? So, you know, you have to have like really clear goals on like what's important to you, you know?
What is next for you personally? Like, where do you see things building? I know we've kind of touched on it, but what's a kind of summary of what's next in your journey over the next year, 3 to 5, if you have that kind of vision in mind?
My vision is to really build out more shows, more hit shows, because at the end of the day, the formats can be so quick and snappy now that you can live in different lanes. So you can like create this character within this Marvel world, if you will, and design it how you want. So it's like, I'm the apartment tour guy. It's like, okay, what would be another added benefit to my career as Caleb that could lead to something else? So that's kind of how I'm thinking about it. Where do I see the creator economy going? Really, I see there's been a shift in Hollywood. You know, they're like going towards media more. They're like going towards like TikTokers and YouTube and Instagram, and they're participating more. And you can't really book a role now if you don't have a following. So it's like the future of who stars are will already be on social, in my opinion. So it's definitely not going anywhere. It's just going to become more and more apparent. People say, are you going to get your own TV show? And I'm like, I say, yo, TV is like the radio, bro. Like, I'm not trying to go backwards. Like, unless 100. There's something that is like really beneficial, like, will help me
to strategically.
Strategically helps me to another goal. Like, it makes no sense, you know?
Can you move on? What would be your biggest piece of advice to a young creator starting today?
My biggest piece of advice would be try as many things that interest you and then understand how it makes you feel, like on the inside. So if you go do prank videos and you get views, how did it make you feel? Because if it makes you feel like shit, you're probably not going to be able to do it for 5 or 10 years, you know, if you don't really enjoy it. So that was my biggest breakthrough moment, is this next round of content I was making. I like wrote down, how did I want to feel during the experience? What type of experience did I want to have? Because my experience is nothing like how the viewer is seeing it or how it's perceived or anything. And selfishly, my experience is the most important one, because if I'm not enjoying it, then I'm not going to do it forever, you know?
Yeah, and that'll come through in the content as well, right?
Exactly.
You genuinely love it. It makes a lot of sense. And finally, who is a creator that you are loving at the minute?
You know, actually, there's this guy who lives in LA. And I can't remember his name right now. I think it's Cody. And he has like kind of like vlog style videos. But he always starts with like, it's like really close on his face and he like makes a joke. And it's just, he's so authentically him, is that I feel like I'm just hanging out with him. And like, I reached out and we've been chatting, but I was like, I don't know. It's just almost refreshing. It's almost like a vlog through short form. Like Emma Chamberlain good. Like Emma Chamberlain, like I'm with you right now.
Yeah.
You know, so I've been enjoying watching that. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, look, Caleb, thank you so much, dude. It's been such a pleasure. Congratulations again on everything that you're doing. And thank you for sharing all of these gems with everyone.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on, Jordan.
Unboxed with Jordan Schwarzenberger is a Listen original in partnership with Arcade Media. The exec producer is Amber Bateman. The senior producer is Lucy Hunt. And the senior digital producer is Alice Tilley. Unboxed is recorded at PRL Studios in West London with the support of Michael Kalizinski.